Restaurant Unstoppable, episode 20.
Welcome to RestaurantUnstoppable.com. Listen to successful restaurant professionals as they discuss the tools, tactics, and services they use to better lead, manage, and market their restaurants. Join our community and make your restaurant dreams unstoppable. Here's your host, Eric Cacciatore.
Yo, what's going on, all you unstoppable restaurant professionals? It's your host, Eric Cacciatore. Sorry, I've been MIA the past 2 weeks. Not 2 weeks, but last week, really. Just things have been crazy between finishing up my current job and starting my internship. I've been working both of those jobs. And I'm also finishing up the semester, and I have all my final projects coming out. And all the networking that goes along with trying to connect with people for the show, it's just been crazy, and unfortunately, the show had to take the brunt of it, so I haven't given up. Once the semester comes to an end, I'll be a little bit more full force here, providing these awesome interviews for you. Just request that you guys give me a little patience while I try to finish up the school year, and I can't wait for the summer. It's going to be awesome. People are really taking on to this show. I've gotten some great reviews from people. I'm loving every second of it. I hope you guys are too. And don't forget, connect with me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Google+, Twitter. I'm out there. I'm easy to find. Tell me who you want to hear from. I'm here to work for you guys. And I'm really just, I'm loving every second of it. But I need your help. So connect with me. Enjoy today's show. All right, with excitement, allow me to introduce to you today's guest, Chester Kroger. How are you doing today, Chester?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
I am terrific. So Chester is the founder of Fuddpuckers. Fuddpuckers has two locations, one in Destin, Florida, and Fort Walton Beach, Florida. His original location has been opened for over 30 years. It was with an open date of 1982, which just goes to show, you know, longevity is one of the best signs of success in this industry. So would you care to elaborate a little bit more on the history of Fuddpuckers and your career as a restaurateur?
Well, it's kind of interesting because I got in the business and it was more of an accident than anything else. I was running out of money after being in college and really wasn't getting anywhere in the field that I had chosen to major in. And one of the sidelines I had was as a disc jockey.
Oh, wow.
And the club that I worked at had a little tiny snack bar in the back. And the cook just left one day. And the managers were very upset. The owner was upset, and I just happened to be there that night, and they asked me if I would want to take over the restaurant, and I said, why not?
That's awesome.
I really didn't know that much about the restaurant business. I knew how to cook, and I knew how to make people happy because I used to be a DJ, and you know, having a lot of friends in that particular place, I figured, well, how can I lose?
Yeah, and that's really what it's all about, right? Making people happy. So
no, it really is. It's yeah. It's a key to the success of your restaurant. If you're not in it to make other people happy, you're in it for the wrong reasons.
Exactly, and I love how you say it was an accident. And that's one thing. One of the things I love to say is, people in this industry, you know, you don't choose this industry; it chooses you. And it's kind of funny to listen at the background of some people who are now, you know, professional restaurant or, you know, restaurant professionals, what they went to school for. And it's like you get people from all walks of life, so it's really interesting. What about any? Are there any kind of maybe awards or anything you want to mention? Anything you've been recognized for that I could have mentioned in the introduction there?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't know that I've ever really been awarded anything of any significance in this industry other than the fact that I've been in the business now for 33 years. That's, in a sense, a reward enough. You know, over the years, I've won Businessman of the Year, and I've won Business of the Year, and, you know, a few other things like that. And we've been acknowledged as the number one family restaurant in Northwest Florida, We've gotten the best kids menu reviews. You know, there's a lot of little things, but I think the thing that stands out is having been in business for as long as we have been.
You know, and that being in business for over 30 years is what made my jaw hit the ground when I saw the video, originally the video of you that was on ScheduleFly. And that's so impressive. I couldn't agree more that that is what you should be most proud of, because to be in business that long just says so much about your abilities and what you're doing over there at Fuddpuckers. So one question I like to ask all of my guests before we dive into the content of the show is, are you ready to help make a restaurant dreams unstoppable?
I don't see why not, you know? Absolutely. Why not? Let's give it a shot.
I'm sure you're going to be great. So let's start with a success or a leadership quote or mantra. What do you have for us to kind of get that motivational ball going?
I think you have to pay attention to the numbers. You must pay attention to the details, and you have to stay passionate.
Absolutely. You have to be able to quantify those things and see where you're going and where you came from. I love it. So let's talk about you now. What's your it factor? Some of the personal characteristics that have contributed to your success?
Well, I'm a little bit of a risk taker. I think that's a big part of someone's success, because if they're never willing to venture out and take that risk, they're probably not going to succeed to the degree that they might have.
Absolutely.
The other thing is that I was more or less born into an entrepreneurial family. My dad and mom were independent business people. They had little hotels in Atlantic City, New Jersey back in the day, and a little fishing business in the Florida Keys. And then, of course, as time went on, they went into motels in Sarasota, Florida. But so I grew up in that business. Mm-hmm. And then I guess another thing that that kind of adds to the success is I've been very, very, very lucky. And there's a definition of luck, but I've been very lucky and blessed in finding good people. Mm-hmm. I think that's a little bit of a talent. I'm not 100% sure, because I've failed sometimes. Mm-hmm. But overall, if you find good people and if you have the ability to find good people, you have a bigger chance of success.
Yeah, and I think what it comes down to is, you know, just being able to have that emotional intelligence and sense that about somebody else. I'm sure we'll have an opportunity to talk about this later in the interview. It's one of the questions we'll get to. But I also wanted to point out some of the other things in my research on you that I found. You say that you love customer interaction, you love challenges, and it's something different every day. And as far as, you know, characteristics about you, I think that those are some of the cool characteristics that are unique to somebody who needs to be successful in this industry. Would you agree to that?
I absolutely agree. Absolutely.
Yep. So I just felt like it was important to point those things out, too. We didn't want to overlook that. So the next question I have for you, Chester, is what's your moment? Is there one moment in time that you just realized that this was going to be more than just a summer job and a lifelong career for you, hospitality?
Well, you know, this is a strange one. I doubt that anybody will ever say this, but I'll tell it to you.
Okay.
Years and years ago, and I think I'm answering the right question here. Years and years ago, when I first started working in a restaurant, I was right out of college. I had my master's degree, and I was looking for work, couldn't find it, and I was given an opportunity to work as a bar back in a very nice steakhouse here in the Fort Walton Beach area. And at the end of the summer, I'd been there for about 3 months. They were getting ready to go into the slow season, and it was a major cleanup party. And one of the owners of the restaurant asked me to clean out a cooler. And it was a beer box. And in the bottom of the beer box was an entire summer's worth of beer. Stale, nasty, broken glass, you name it, rust. And, you know, I dipped all of the stuff out that I possibly could with a scoop. And, you know, I was mopping it up as best I could with a sponge that we had and towels. But there was a part of the darn cooler that just I couldn't get to, or at least I didn't think I could. And Jerry Dormany told me, he says, well, why don't you just siphon it out? And I looked at him and I said, I'm not putting the siphon in there. I'm not sucking that stuff out of there. And he grabbed the hose that one of his buddies had brought and sucked that stuff up and into his mouth and into a bucket. I was fired the next day. So what came out of that was that I realized that I could never ask an employee to do something that I wouldn't do myself.
Wow, that is gold right there. That's a great story, and I think it's something that we'll all, I know that it will be an example I'll use in the future when talking about, you know, what it takes to be a great leader. So, and I'm sure, obviously, it stuck with you all this time. So that's
awesome. It definitely did. I mean, it's one of those defining moments. And it wasn't just related to restaurants, of course, but it certainly, you know, it plays into life in general.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, what was this gentleman's name again?
Jerry Dormany.
Thank you, Jerry, for that lifelong lesson. So the next question I have for you, Chester, is we get so many funny stories and heart-touching stories, kind of like the one you just told. And many of these stories have lifelong lessons, and I'm almost thinking about maybe just skipping this question, but I want to see what other stories I can get out of you, because you kind of just gave us a lifelong lesson. As they act as reminders, though, to why we show up to work every day and why it is we do what we do in this industry. Can you tell us a story that kind of just is your favorite memory that kind of just makes you, you know, that acts as a reminder to, you know what, this is what it's all about?
Wow. You know, it's very hard to do that because there are so many. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm a little quirky, but here's another one.
No, give it to us.
When we first opened the store in Fort Walton Beach, we didn't have a roof over our kitchen. And that was kind of a no-no because, the building department frowns on that kind of thing.
Times were a little different back in the 80s.
Well, yeah, but this was definitely a violation of everything that you can imagine, every health code in the universe, I would imagine. What we had done was we'd taken a piece of 4x8 plywood and put it over the door to the kitchen, which, of course, is where we had all of what little restaurant equipment we had back then. And I had moved out a couple of things into a hallway that was, in fact, covered. And we were cooking that day on a propane burner, and we were basically boiling shrimp. And we had a char grill set up without a hood system. And we're frying burgers, and they're cooking burgers. And the inspector came in to do basically the inspection on the restaurant. And he walks in, and I knew that they were coming. So that's why we boarded up the kitchen. But he basically thought that the kitchen that we were using right there in that little hallway was the kitchen for the restaurant. And he passed us. So, you know, we made it. We got in under the wire, and about 3 weeks later, we finally had a roof on our kitchen, and we actually started, doing real restaurant food as opposed to essentially snacks and appetizers. But to me, that was one of the funniest things that ever happened to me. And it was, who knows what would have happened if I hadn't put that piece of plywood up on that wall, because this guy would probably have failed us, and we would have been out of business before we even got started.
So it's kind of just one of those, like, silver linings of things that, just little things that if you didn't get away with it that day, you wouldn't be where you are today, which is kind of funny. But it's these kind of stories, and what's one of the things I love about this industry is it's not your typical industry. You can kind of get away with, in corporate America, everything's so straight edge, but in this industry, it's the real world, and you get those kind of funny stories, and it's one of the reasons why I'm so attracted to it. The next question I have for you, Chester, is on enlightened hospitality. And in the event that you haven't heard of the expression of enlightened hospitality, basically what it is just prioritizing to who you're hospitable towards first, starting with your inner guest or your employees, then your guests, your community, suppliers, and investors. So now that we know what enlightened hospitality is, can you think of a time that either you or one of your employees or one of your team members has displayed enlightened hospitality at your restaurant
I guess so. I mean, this the one that comes to mind right off the bat here is probably one of the more touching things that's ever happened to me. And surprisingly, it happened recently. It's about 3 months ago. This season, the seasonality of our business in the Destin-Fort Walton Beach area is quite significant. It goes from craziness in the summertime. We do about $10 million a year in sales to nothing in the winter. Nothing. I mean, it's like it just dries up. Mm-hmm. And during those dark times in the wintertime, you have to hold on to core staff. A lot of people, they're struggling to make ends meet.
Mm-hmm.
I walked out into the parking lot after work one day, and as I was leaving in my car, I looked to the right, and there was a car that had been parked there for some time. And it had one of those sunshades on it. But also, as I drove by and looked at it, the windows were kind of blacked out with what looked like some type of a sheet or a bedspread or something.
Okay.
So I stopped and I kind of looked at it and said, that's kind of weird. And then I looked a little closer and there was an electrical cord running from one of my trailers, which is where we keep our world-famous T-shirts and other things, to this car. So I drove around the parking lot and stopped. And as I was getting out of my car, this young man climbed out of his car. And he was frightened out of his wits. And I recognized him as one of our cooks. I mean, and this guy had been with us for several months. And obviously, if he was working for us in the wintertime, he had to be worth his salt. Because a lot of times we let people go during the fall in preparation for the cold winter. And he walked up to me and he says, is it okay if I'm here? And I said, what do you mean, is it okay if you're here? What do you mean, you're living in your car? And he said, yes, sir. And I said, what happened? I mean, and he basically told me this amazing story of how he and his girlfriend, who had just had a baby, had a fight, and her mother threw him out of the house.
Wow.
And it was not something that he felt was going to be able to be reconciled. And he didn't have he was providing for the child. He was trying to provide for her. And he didn't have enough money to rent a hotel room or find an apartment, let alone, for himself. He couldn't even move in with anybody because he had no expendable income whatsoever. And, I'll be honest with you, I almost broke down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, things aren't the greatest for us right now. We've gone through some very, very difficult times, which we'll touch on later in the interview. But to see this young man literally living out of his car in my parking lot was about the most moving thing that I've ever seen. And I reached into my pocket, and I tried to give him money, and he wouldn't take it. So,
That's just an incredible story. I mean, I don't want to cut you off. There's more to it. But, I want to give you credit because you say to yourself, you've been blessed with luck, with good people, with being able to find good people. And I don't think you give yourself enough credit because that's exactly what, enlightened hospitality is all about. I'm not sure where the story goes, but I have a feeling it goes in the direction where you take this person in and you maybe, offer them some means to support his child and his, I don't know if it was still his girlfriend at the time. But, when you show generosity, and that's really what hospitality is, it's not service. It's neighborliness, it's generosity, it's being warm to others, helping others, and just being a good moral overall person. And when you are a good moral overall person, people return back to you what you give to them. And that means being a great employee. And when you're great to your employees, they're going to be great right back to you. So I don't know where the story went, but I'm sure it had something to do. Do you want to finish the story?
Well, I'll sum it up real quick. He and I, when he was more or less of an inconspicuous employee who obviously did a good job, but now when I go through the kitchen, there's always an acknowledgement, and I get a great deal of warmth from that. He survived. Mm-hmm. To be honest with you, I'm not sure if he ever got back together with his girlfriend. I know that he's not living in a house anymore, but he's also not living in the back parking lot. Yeah. So he obviously has come. He's made some steps, and I guess partially through our willingness to give him more hours and whatever, and he's doing okay.
Awesome. Well, that was an incredible story. And like I said, you need to give yourself more credit for having these great people, because I'm sure it's not just luck. I'm sure it has a lot to do with the fact that you're just a great employer. So everyone can take a lesson from you on that story right there. So the next question I have is, what is one of your biggest challenges, and what is your advice for overcoming that challenge?
Unfortunately, I think that it's very easy to get distracted. Mm-hmm. Especially when you're having success, you know, you sometimes come out and you feel like you're invincible. Everything you touch is turning to gold, and you may get a little bit complacent as a result of the success that you've had. And that can lead to ruin. Mm-hmm. Because once you start paying attention to the core elements of your business and you go in too many different directions, you have a very good chance of losing it. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's my answer to that question.
So your answer is, you know, to kind of to keep your wits about you and don't let the success to get, you know, to your head and constantly be working as hard as when you first got into the industry.
Yeah, and, you know, there's other challenges. I mean, there's a lot of things that enter into the picture, but mm-hmm. that one... You asked about a personal note, and that's the one that almost sank me. Mm-hmm. Because we went through a time when we invested very heavily in real estate in the area here and other businesses and this and that and the other thing. And things were going so well, and then all of a sudden the bottom fell out mm-hmm. of it in 2005. Mm-hmm. And the real estate market went down the tubes, and the monthly payments for the banks didn't. And regardless of how much money we were making, couldn't sustain it. Yeah. So, you know, we're still fighting our way out of that mess. And it's, and had I not done those things, had I just stayed focused on the real estate business, there's no telling where I'd be, you know. Yeah. I mean, we were doing really, really well.
Yeah, you know.
And obviously we leveraged that success into some of these other areas that we didn't know enough about, mm-hmm. perhaps, and maybe just the times caught us. But getting distracted and letting yourself get complacent are pretty, pretty serious issues.
Well, you've done a great job thus far answering the long, drawn-out portion of this this podcast. We've learned so much just from the stories you've shared with us, and that's why, you know, I started this podcast, because there's so many people out there that just put their whole life into this industry, and we can learn so much from them. And I've already just learned so much, and the podcast is only halfway over. The second half of the podcast goes a little bit faster. I like to call it, I'm still kind of playing with the title here, but for now we're just calling it Knowledge Bombs, because that's what you're doing. You're just going to drop some quick knowledge bombs on us that we can apply at our own restaurants. So the first question I have for you in this, part of the podcast is we're going to talk about employee retention. You know, it's no secret that employee retention is one of the most difficult struggles in the industry. What advice do you have to first find good people and then, you know, keep these employees as valuable members? And I think you're going to knock this question out of the park, just, you know, considering what you've already said to us.
To me, you got to focus on personality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the reality is that you can train virtually everything else. You can train a person how to wait a table. You can train them how to you know, which side of the person to serve from and pick up dishes from. But you cannot train someone to have a personality.
Absolutely.
You just can't. And I would rather have an inexperienced person with a personality than I would the most experienced person that has none.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a key consideration for me.
Awesome. And I want to quote you. You said this in the video I watched on Schedule Fly. If you give people the opportunity to succeed and provide the framework to grow, they'll do it if you just give them a chance. That kind of ties into everything, and you know, it just you have to create. You know, you have to find the good people. You have to be not just a boss, but a mentor, and give them that framework, and they'll do great things for you. So, and you've already proven that with your previous story. So we don't have to dive any more into this question. I think you've explained very well what it takes to have employee retention. So the next question I have for you, Chester, is what is the best restaurant resource you use? It could be a book, a website, or a magazine, but what do you use to kind of stay on top of the times?
Well, you know, I think like most people in the industry, I receive all of these restaurant institution magazines, mm-hmm. the Restaurant Hospitality, Restaurant Business, Nation's Restaurant News, and I will browse through them because they keep you apprised of what trends are and what's going on in the industry and the concerns, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, it's funny because there's a book that was written by a gentleman named Will Brawley. It's called Restaurant Owners Uncorked. Mm-hmm. And despite the fact that I happen to be in that magazine, I have been amazed by the stories that have been written by the other 19 people that are in that book. I mean, it's a wealth of knowledge. So I highly recommend that for anyone who wants to get involved in the restaurant business, because you're going to see the truth. I mean, there's the strengths, there's the weaknesses, there's the pitfalls, there's everything described in that book. And it's not a magazine that's trying to sell you something. It's simply a straightforward look at what this industry is all about.
And I'm away from the microphone right now. I don't know if you can hear me, but I'm pretty sure I have it in my... Here it is. I couldn't find it. Restaurant Owners Uncorked. And they... You said it was with Will Brawley was the author, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. I've only gone through half of this book, and I couldn't agree more with you. It's basically... it's this podcast in book format. Getting into stories and advice from some extremely successful restaurateurs. I can't wait to finish it, but it's going to have to wait until school finishes, because right now anything that I'm reading is course-related, but I can't wait to get through the rest of the story. So thank you for sharing that book with us.
Absolutely.
The next question I have for you is, we were talking a little bit about trends in that last answer, but what are some of the tricks of the trade or trends you're putting into use right now?
Tricks of the trade. Goodness gracious. You know, one of the things that I try to do with my restaurants is I try to build means of doing better than the margins call for. For example, we focus really heavily on merchandise mm-hmm. in our restaurants, and we sell a gazillion dollars worth of merchandise every year. That's why we're known as, you know, the place with great food, live music, and world-famous T-shirts. Those T-shirts have put my kids through school and hopefully will keep me in business for the next, you know, 20-odd years, as long as I have left on this life.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess one of the things that people should look for is a hook and a way to improve their margins. I mean, what is that? Is it a dessert? Is it a T-shirt? Is it a hat? Is it anything that can bring additional revenue to the table, and especially if it has a good margin?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the food business... arguably, you know, you're fortunate if you have a 30-34% food cost. If you have a cost similar in terms of your labor, you're probably making a little bit of money. But imagine if you had an item that you could sell and do really well with mm-hmm. that cost you 15-20%.
Yeah, and I did. I'm happy you're going in this direction, because I have noticed in the research on you that you are really good at, you know, you're not just a restaurateur, but you're an entrepreneur. And that's one thing we all can, you know, do as restaurant professionals, is look for other sources of revenue. Because in this industry, we all know that we have our busy seasons and we have our slow seasons. So you need to have that other source of revenue coming in to, you know, get through those tough times. But it's up to you to be creative, like you have been with your T-shirts, to find that that like little bit of a niche that you kind of focus on to bring in that extra source. And I'm
sure.
I'm thinking about doing another episode where I kind of talk about different ways you can find other means of revenue to kind of support and increase that profit margin. So thank you so much for sharing that. Great advice. That's the first time somebody's mentioned that in the show, so kudos to you.
Good.
The next question I have for you is, there are so many products and services that come into our industry every day. And being so busy as restaurant professionals, not really having that time to filter through all of it all, it's hard to know, you know, which services are worth your investment. So is there a product or service that you can give us a completely objective review on that you have gotten your return on investment with?
Oh, absolutely. And the first one that comes to mind is ScheduleFly. Mm-hmm. ScheduleFly is touted as a scheduling tool. And it's a great one.
Mm-hmm. So exactly what does it do? Like what's the function does it serve? Just scheduling, or does it go further than that?
Oh, it goes much further. I mean, the scheduling aspect is exceptional. It has saved my managers countless hours. I mean, we have roughly 500 employees during the season. And if you can imagine having to schedule 500 people and have these people, you know, in the old days, you'd get a phone call from, I'm sick today, can you help me out? And you'd have to call 20 other people to find one that would be able to come in and cover a shift.
Mm-hmm.
Well, ScheduleFly does much more than just schedule. It gives employees the opportunity to say, hey, look, I need off this day, and is there anybody out there that wants to pick up my shift?
Mm-hmm.
And
awesome.
It's all being done in the background, so the manager doesn't have to step in until there's a major problem and maybe an employee can't cover their shift. So it's a phenomenal tool in that regard. But there's another side to ScheduleFly which just blew me away.
Okay.
And that is the communications aspect. If I have something important to say to my staff, I can select the restaurant in Fort Walton Beach, or I can select the one in Destin, or both. I can include the management team in the back office. And I can simply put out an email message and a text message. It goes to both. And I get immediate access to my employees on their smartphones or their telephones.
It's really incredible today what you can do with technology. And there's just so much out there and so many things that we can invest in that we just will make us better. And it's totally worth that investment. And I'm not a complete stranger to ScheduleFly. I have vetted the service because I am very interested in how it can help small businesses. And I kind of chuckled to myself when you said the word communication, because in one word, I mean, I could probably say it in two words, but in one word, definitely it's communication and it's efficiency. You waste so much time trying to get those shifts covered when things, you know, when the stuff hits the fan.
Absolutely.
With this, what it does is, you know, it holds people accountable. And they have no excuse, because today everybody has a smartphone. And you know what? If you have that smartphone, you're going to have the app on your phone, and then you have no excuse. There's push notifications, so if something goes wrong, everyone's right there. They're all on the same page. So
sure.
Communication.
Well, here's another little tiny example.
Yeah.
Let's say you wanted to promote an item,
mm-hmm.
and you don't really know how to promote it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, certainly you can go out and buy radio ads, or you can, you know, do a beach flyover, or you could put it up on your reader board in front of the restaurant. What I've done very successfully of late is I'll send out a message to every employee, and I'll say, hey, look, we've got the Fud Spud on special today. Please let your friends know about it.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And the next thing you know, there's 50,000 messages flying around, you know, come get a Fud Spud at Fudpuckers. Now, not everybody participates in that activity, but hey, if I can sell 20 more as a result of that and this little program that I feel so strongly about, then, you know, I'm going to be a little bit further ahead at the end of the day.
Exactly, and really at the end of the day, it's all about that four-wall marketing. You know, it's word of mouth, and it's those people that are your direct connections that do your marketing for you. You take care of them being your employees and your guests, and they'll take care of you. So you got it right on the nose. Great advice. Thank you for sharing that with us, Chester.
Sure.
We'll try to – I know it's been a little bit over here, so I'll try to speed it up. I'm sure you have other things you could be doing. So the next question I have for you is the best business advice for somebody getting started in this industry. What do you think that would be, if you could share one piece of advice?
Hmm. I probably have to go back to a word that I've used before in this interview, and that's passion.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have passion for the industry, you don't need to get involved with it, because it's a tough, tough business.
Mm-hmm.
The margins are slim, the hours are long, The employee issues are sometimes overwhelming. And if you're not willing to put everything you have into it, don't do it.
Exactly. It's just, if you're looking to get into this industry because you think it will be lucrative, or you'll make a lot of money, or you think it's going to be a way to be social, yeah, it is. You can have fun. You do have great stories to tell. But you really have, like you say, and you really just have to have that passion to make other people happy, because that is your payment, seeing other people happy and knowing that you're helping others and making people go home happy at the end of the day. That's the true payment. And if you do those things well, the monetary, things will come, but first and foremost, like you said, passion. I love it. Are there any questions I could have asked you, Chester, that you believe would provide value to our listeners? And if there is a question you can think of, what's the answer to that question?
Well, what about asking a question that a lot of people may not even think about? And it's, why do so many businesses, restaurant businesses, fail?
What's the answer to that question?
Well, I think it's because everybody thinks it's easy.
Yeah.
How hard could it be to, make a hamburger and sell it?
Yeah.
I can do that.
Yeah.
And they don't really think it through. And that is that there's marketing involved, and there's equipment involved, and there's air conditioning, and there's this, and there's that, and there's, there's so much to this.
Mm-hmm. Like you said before, really what it comes down to is passion. So unless you have that passion, you're not going to be willing to put in those hours and to wear all these hats that you're talking about.
Sure.
So.
Well, everybody, thinks it's so easy. They forget about the costs associated with getting involved in a business.
Mm-hmm.
And many of them, of course, come in underfinanced.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have all their contingencies covered.
In regards to getting that finance, because you say so many people come in, underfinanced. What advice do you have, a rule of thumb when trying to get the investments that you need to start a restaurant? Do you have any advice for us?
Well, I can tell you that I started because I saved money,
mm-hmm.
And I started small, and I got very fortunate. I recognized, I used the word lucky earlier,
mm-hmm.
and personally I think that luck is really recognizing an opportunity when the opportunity presents itself, and then the next most important thing is acting on it. But in order to do that, oftentimes you have to have some money. Money is important.
Mm-hmm.
I started Fuddpuckers back in 1982 with $6,000.
Mm-hmm.
It would be hard for anyone to do that today.
I can imagine.
Even if it was just a snack bar. I mean, that's not a lot of money. And I was working for a guy at the time, and he actually loaned me three of the six.
Oh, wow. 50%.
So,
huh?
Yeah. It worked out.
Well, while we're on the subject, I read a book recently, not too long ago, called It's All About the Guest, written by Steve DeFilippo of Davia's, and what he suggests as a rule of thumb is whatever you think it's going to cost to start a restaurant, throw another 30% on top of that, because there's always something, some hidden cost, and you're going to need it to depth. So whatever it's going to cost, what you think you have in your budget, then just throw another 30%, because that's what it takes sometimes with, getting your certificates, your licensing, and all that stuff. There's always something that you don't foresee being a cost.
Absolutely, and that may actually be a low figure. It might be 50.
Yeah, right. I also want to give kudos to you because you say you call it luck, but there's something I think I don't think you realize how much power there is in being a positive person and being good to people. And I think that you may think that all this luck is just by chance, but I really do think that it's because of the energy that you put out there and the positivity that you put into the world, and that's just coming back to pay you. So. Good for you. We can all learn a lesson from the kind of person you are. And we're going to wrap it up now. So who is one restaurant professional you admire and respect and believe would be a great addition to the show?
I got to tell you, I got to go back to my roots here. The gentleman who offered me my first job out of college was a gentleman named Sam Montalto.
Okay.
And that he is still alive.
Is he?
And now he's an old fart.
I love those are the best kind of characters. They tell you how it is.
But Sam, old line Italian guy, has one of the finest steakhouses in my opinion, of the world. It's called Pandora's Steakhouse.
All right.
Here in Fort Walton Beach, Florida. And Sam is the consummate restaurateur. He's old school, and he consistently puts out a tremendous product and does it in such a way that it's very hard for people not to go back time and time and time again. And I give Sam an awful lot of credit for taking a chance on a young whippersnapper right out of college with a master's degree who thought he knew everything.
Well, do you think you can put me in touch with Sam?
I would be honored.
Oh, that would be great. Thank you. If you listen to this podcast before I have a chance to talk to you, Sam, I'm coming for you, and I can't wait for it. So the last thing we do on this show is we give you an opportunity to pitch your products and services and your restaurants, your locations, and how can we connect to you? Maybe this is a good time to try to find some talent out there. I don't know about you guys, but if I had the opportunity to work for a guy like Chester, I know I would be chomping at the bit. So maybe if you're down in Florida, you're listening to this podcast, and you're looking to get in this industry and you want a good mentor, pay attention to this part.
Well, thanks. I didn't realize I get a chance to do this.
Yeah.
You know, Fuddpuckers has been around for 33 years, and I think that a large part of the reason that that's the case is that we really are all about fun. Yes, we have great food. Yes, we have live music. Yes, we have world-famous T-shirts, but it goes way beyond that. We've got live alligators. We let people write on the walls. and, you know, it's just... And we let our staff have a great time. You know, when staff's having a great time, the customers have a great time, and we also sponsor an awful lot of events. Events are a key part of our package, and you know, we have fun. It's about fun, and we have fun when we go to work. I wouldn't change anything. Period.
So every time you open your mouth, Chester, gold comes out. And I'm just going to recap some of the gold that just fell out. Then fun. Obviously, if you're fun and your people are happy and having fun. Then your guests are going to be happy and having fun. So gold right there. And you talk about sponsoring events and getting involved in your community. That all goes back to the enlightened hospitality. If you get involved with your community and you know show your community hospitality, warmth, neighborliness, and you're willing to support your community, they're going to come right back around and support you. So I couldn't help but point that out. So that's all I have for you today. Thank you so much. You were a treat to have on the show, and I can't wait for all and any other future connections with you.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. It's good meeting you finally after all that trial and tribulation. And I hope that that the interview goes the way you want it to.
Oh, it already has. I couldn't be more
right,
pleased.
Good. Good.
Thank you so much, Chester. Take care.
Okay. Thanks
all
a
right.
lot.
Another awesome episode. Thank you so much, Chester. You were great. What really stood out to me in today's episode, some of the things that really resonated were how Chester kept on talking about how lucky he was that everything just seemed to happen right. And it's just by chance and by luck that he gets all these great people working for him. And I don't think it's luck. I really think that he has, you can just tell by listening to him, that he has that genuine sense about him. And I believe that it's, you know, when you're good to the world and you're good to people in the world and you do right and you do the positive things and you put that positive energy out into the world, it only goes to serve you in the long run. And if you take care of others, they're going to take care of you. If you're engaged with your community and support your community, they're going to support you. So in his eyes, and it just goes to show how humble he is, he sees this as luck, but no, it's not. It's being a good person and just, like I said, just... getting what you put out. So that was really special to me. That really resonated with me. And also, he's not just a restaurateur, but he's an entrepreneur. And in this industry, we don't always have peak seasons, and we need to be creative to kind of create those profit margins like he was talking about. So what he does, his niche, is he has the T-shirts, which I guess is what his big thing is. I'm up in New Hampshire. I haven't had the experience of seeing any of his T-shirts, but that's just one creative way, like, to, you know, increase those profit margins. He also mentioned like a dessert or something of that sort too. Anything you can be known for that kind of spike the revenue is great. And there's a bunch of other ways you can do this today. And I had mentioned in the episode, I'm thinking about doing maybe I'll use an Authority Thursday to talk about different ways you can find those alternate sources of revenue to kind of help you focus on your passion, which is the restaurant. So that was great. And the last thing I wanted to recap was Schedulefly. It's such an amazing service. There's going to be links in the show notes to the book that he mentioned, who I believe Schedulefly supported the book that he was talking about. But there's also links to Schedulefly, the service for communication and scheduling. Awesome, awesome software, really to make people accountable and to just have everybody on the same page. Great tool. So that's all I have for you today. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please don't forget, I need your help finding some great people to have on the show. So if you can think of an amazing restaurateur or executive chef or general manager of some restaurant that's in your community that you would just love to hear from, let me know who they are and maybe help connect me with these folks. I'm here for you, and I can't wait to learn, and I hope you can't wait to learn too. Don't forget Facebook, LinkedIn, Google+, Twitter. I'm out there. I'm easy to find. And there's always www.restaurantunstoppable.com. Everything we talk about in the show is right there at the show notes. Just check out the website, restaurantunstoppable.com/podcasts. Right there. Dig in. Enjoy. Peace out.